How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, Hour 3.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I have some breaking news for you. TikTok has announced that if it loses its legal challenge to the divestiture legislation, it will shut down. It's unwilling to give up Chinese Communist Party control of TikTok, which tells you everything you need to know about the app. Now, I will tell you, if you're a TikTok user, you might as well download Instagram and get used to the reels. I think Snapchat and Facebook could be big winners of this. I don't think the legislation's unconstitutional. Here's why. The legislation's not shutting down TikTok. It's not an affront to the First Amendment. It just says the Chinese Communist Party cannot control the app because we know the Chinese Communist Party uses it to surveil people. In fact, there's a study out today that Chinese language keyboards and Chinese companies that make keyboards. There's a thing you may not be aware of. On a lot of digital devices, including a lot of smartphones, including the iPhone, you can download various keyboards that you think might be better than the default keyboard. And a study has come out today showing that there are a number of Chinese companies that have prepared these keyboards, programmed them, and if you download and use them, they log your keystrokes and send them back to China. Good luck with password entry. Here's Steve Scalise.
But we had to draw up a bill that we knew would withstand legal muster, and we had to build the right coalition in Congress, Republicans and Democrats who wanted to confront this problem. As you pointed out, it's a major national security threat. The data of most Americans, and look, I talk to young kids about this bill because, you know, TikTok's very popular, especially amongst young kids, and people thought that was going to ultimately defeat our bill because young kids would love the application and they would defend it. And I would say, how many of you know how much of your data is at risk and actually that the Chinese Communist Party has the ability to get access to it?
Yeah, look, it's a real problem. And there are a lot of people who just want to be entertained by TikTok. They don't care. They don't think it applies to them. They don't see the problem with it. The problem is pretty pervasive and growing. And the fact that ByteDance says it would rather kill the app than give up control of the Chinese communist control tells you everything you need to know about the situation. Now, while all of this is happening, Donald Trump is in court complaining about the air conditioner again today. It doesn't seem to be hurting him. Even as, well, legal troubles continue to grow. You got the Supreme Court hearing yesterday. The left is upset about it because it seems like they're not going to give you. Remember, the entire issue is whether Trump could be prosecuted. It sounds like the Supreme Court is going to say yes, but that you got to take your time with it. And the left is impatient for justice against Donald Trump. The only time the left has wanted to speed up the trains on the track of justice instead of slow them down. But Trump himself, well, he continues to outperform Biden in the polling. It's remarkable. In fact, let me get to JT's phone call on this. JT, welcome to the show. How are you?
Afternoon, Eric. How are you?
Great.
Now, first off, Eric, I got to say, man, your son nailed it. That impression of him, the voice, he was on it, man. I was like, yo, he got it. He just got to get the phrases and the mannerisms and study them more because Trump changes it up. And I like it when he goes off script at a rally.
Yes, yeah, I got to get him to do another one.
Right, but I will say now, Eric, interesting, I want to say, what, 2 weeks Trump has had, despite him being in court? I mean, from the Chick-fil-A visit to Atlanta to, what was it, the construction site in New York City yesterday. Seems like his momentum is surprisingly growing. And one of the New Yorkers commented on Biden. And of course, you have to bleep it, but I was like, whoa, I felt that. That was like a punch. So you could see the difference. It's almost like when I first called you, Eric, we talked about the mugshot. I just think, I don't know, Eric, maybe they failed. The left really, beyond overplaying their hand, it's not, like you said, it's not hurting him. I mean, he seems to survive all of this. And he was talking about having rallies, Jersey Shore, somewhere else in New York City. And the latest I've heard before I called you, two or three people commented on it, Madison Square Garden. So could you imagine a Trump rally in MSG in the heart of Manhattan?
That would be hilarious.
You know, with support. I know. And that would be I think it would be a devastating blow to the left. They would freak out.
Yeah, because, okay. So, you know, JT, what I find really remarkable about this is he's tied up in court all day. And what the spin from the left has been is, oh, he's not going to be able to campaign. Joe Biden's out campaigning. While you're here, I'm going to leave you on the phone. I'm not going to disconnect you so you and I can listen to this together. This is Joe Biden out on the campaign trail yesterday. Listen to this.
Every time a police officer puts on that shield every morning, their husband or wife, whatever it is, or child, worries about, will they get that phone call? Will they get that phone call? I got one of those phone calls in a different circumstance.
Okay. He's talking to police officers and the spouses of the deceased police officers. So I got one of those phone calls in different circumstances. You know, Bo Biden killed in Iraq, except he wasn't. And he's trying to play this card. And this is the problem, is Donald Trump may be locked up in a courtroom in a trial and can't get out of it. But every time Joe Biden goes out and campaigns, he puts his foot in his mouth again.
Exactly. And that's the weird thing. You would think, Eric, I guess, you know, he can't play the basement strategy this time around. It's not going to work. So you trot him out there. And like you say, he puts his foot in his mouth. Kathleen Kamala, you can't count on her, you know, without embarrassing herself. So, I mean, it's almost, what do we say, what we call free advertising.
Yeah.
Once he comes out in the courtroom, he can talk to the media. They're there waiting on him. And the point you made, Eric, I agree with it, and it plays daily. The media, in a way, can't be without him. They need him, even though they hate him. So it's like, you know, this guy's trapped, locked up in court, but when he comes out, you don't know what he's going to say. And it's just, you know, in a way, he's getting the momentum in spite of being
locked
up.
Listen, that's well said. JT, I'm going to let you go there. Thanks for the phone call. In fact, folks, so I have a special piece of software where I can pull up every news channel in America, and I can look at them. Fox News, the lead story, Joe Biden says he will debate Donald Trump. News Nation, talking about the Columbia University protests. MSNBC covering the Trump trial. CNN covering the Trump trial. Newsmax covering the Trump trial. NBC News Now covering the Trump trial. CBS News Now covering the Trump trial. They would not be covering it if it were bad for ratings. But they are covering it because they know how good it is for their ratings. And by the way, up now, Fox has switched to the Trump trial. And by the way, every time Trump comes out and gives a statement after the trial every day, a well-crafted, thoughtful statement, everybody in the media covers it, even CNN, which likes to step away from him. They're covering it. So Trump's getting one good soundbite a day while Biden's going out and doing five soundbites and they're all garbage. It really is a striking contrast with what's going on out there. It's kind of wild. Now, let's go to Todd over in Fountain in South Carolina, home of the Voodoo Brewing Company. How are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. Thank you for having me on your show.
Maybe it's an indictment on my soul that I know about Voodoo Brewing in Fountain Inn.
They got some pretty good stuff, some strange stuff, but
yeah,
it's pretty good. Some of it I've been looked at and go, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, about these court cases, at some point, some Democrat somewhere has got to go, you know, we probably shouldn't do this. Let's take Fannie Willis and the election interference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look back, if you can remember back, Florida, George Bush and Al Gore, that big fiasco, the hanging chads, I mean, that was highly debated. It's like, if you dispute a election, then you're going to wind up in court. Alvin Bragg, he paid a porn star. Big deal. Bill Clinton. No.
Yeah. We don't. Yeah. We got kids listening.
Yes, I understand. I apologize. But, you know, the amount of people Bill Clinton paid could settle most countries' national deficit. Anyways, and then you've got the immunity. And this is the big one because they're going, okay, if they grant Trump immunity, then the presidents can do just whatever they want, whenever they want. If they say he doesn't, there's a lot of presidents that should be very worried, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, this is just Pandora's box that they should have been like, we're not opening this because it can backfire on us like mad.
Yes, okay.
And I just don't understand.
I'm glad you raised this point because this was Neil Gorsuch's point in the Supreme Court yesterday, is that we are rapidly headed towards a point where every president has to pardon himself before he leaves office because of the weaponization of prosecutors to go after presidents for policies they don't like or things they did that the prosecutors don't like. That could FDR, were he around today, could he be prosecuted for the internment of the Japanese, among other things? That's why the Supreme Court is thoughtfully considering this, not because they are in Trump's pocket, contra MSNBC, but because they realize any precedent they set is going to be about the future, not just Trump. And there is a level of lawfare. I mean, if you're a conservative, I don't know that you want to live in New York or California and have a high profile because they're going to come after you. Frankly, it's like, if you will recall, Rush Limbaugh back in the day living in Palm Beach. Palm Beach had a progressive prosecutor who decided to stake his reputation on the prosecution of Rush Limbaugh, thinking it would help him politically. This is not a new thing. But it is a thing that more often than not happens with progressives, not with conservatives, who don't weaponize institutions as much. In fact, you know, a lot of the conservative clamoring over institutions these days is about, well, the left has engaged in lawfare and weaponizing the government. We should do it too, as opposed to how about you get in and you undo it and make it so they can't do it again. You roll back the government and gut the power of government so that it's impossible to do these things, and we're all better off. But everybody wants their revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, but who cares what he says? The lawfare and weaponization of the legal system to go after Donald Trump and the left's inability to be intellectually honest about it is going to come back to bite them. Everybody except them can see where this heads. And in the process, it's making Donald Trump appear sympathetic, making Donald Trump appear very sympathetic to a lot of Americans who recognize the left is using the courts to get him because they cannot beat him. And that is ultimately going to be their undoing because I've said repeatedly the left hates Donald Trump so much they can't conceive of anyone supporting him. And so they, when they see data and they see polling that shows Donald Trump doing what he's doing and beating Joe Biden right now in the polling, they legitimately cannot conceive of the polling being right because they don't know anybody who would agree with the polling. And that's how Donald Trump wins. You want to know how it's done? Ben Sasse, the president of the University of Florida, is showing how these protests are done. The Division of Student Life at the University of Florida sent out a memo. Said the allowable activities in student protest: speech, expressing viewpoints, holding signs in hands, prohibited items and activities at protests. No amplified sound, no demonstrations inside buildings, no littering, no camping, no sleeping, no unmanned signs, no blocking egress, no building structures like chairs, stakes, benches, tables, no camping, including tents, sleeping bags, pillows, etc. No disruption, no threats, no violence, no weapons, any other items and or activities deemed to be non-compliant with policy and regulations by university officials. Here are the consequences for non-compliance. One, individuals found responsible for engaging in prohibited activities shall be trespassed from campus. Two, students will receive a 3-year trespass and suspension. Three, employees will be trespassed and separated from employment. So if you want to protest, you speak, express your viewpoint, and hold your signs. But if you bring a megaphone, you try to camp, you try to harass other people who are counter-protesting, if you're an employee, you're going to be fired and charged with trespassing. If you're a student, you're going to be suspended and charged with trespassing. And what's the result? The protests dissipated at the University of Florida. Weird how they didn't want to protest unless they could break the law. Isn't it funny how that works? Isn't it funny? By the way, Emory University near me has started protests. There's a great video on Twitter of a Georgia State patrolman spear tackling a protester who's trying to run away from him. Guy just lunges at him and takes him out. You know he's wanted his whole life to do that. When we come back, I got to talk about Ford and the EV problem because, my goodness. But first, I got to tell you, if you call 404-COMPUTE, in 15 seconds or less, you can get the answer to your computer problems. VisionComputers.com or 404-COMPUTE. Vision Computers can build you computers, and they're going to save you money, and they're going to give you a product that actually meets your needs and wants and isn't one size fits all. It's going to probably be cheaper than what you get at the big box store. Two, once you've bought a computer from Vision Computers, they're going to be your IT solution. You'll be able to call them, and in 15 seconds or less, you'll be able to get the answer to anything you need about your computer or have them remote in to fix something on your computer if you can't do it yourself. They can even handle printer problems. But here's the thing. Let's say you didn't buy a computer from Vision Computers. For $179 a year, not a month, per computer, Vision can still be your tech support solution, so you can call them. And in 15 seconds or less, faster than the Google search, get the answer to what's wrong with your computer. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. You do not have to be a customer of Vision Computers to take advantage of the $179 a year charge for their support. But if you buy a computer from Vision Computers, that support comes with the computer. You don't have to pay for it. And they save you money. 404-COMPUTE. Call Vision. Tell them I sent you. Any one of you in the nation can do this. Or go to visioncomputer.com. 404-COMPUTE. Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. This open line Friday, 877-973-7425 is the phone number. If you text the word ENGAGE, E-N-G-A-G-E, to 33777. I'll send you back a link. If you want to come to our conference in August, the gathering, it's August 8th through the 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. The big days are the 9th and 10th. We're reaching out like we've extended an invite to Speaker Johnson. Governor Brian Kemp is going to come. Governor Doug Ducey used to be in Arizona is coming. We've reached out to Kim Reynolds in Iowa to invite her and Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. We're trying to get some of the great candidates that are going to run for the Senate, Jim Banks in Indiana and Eric Covid in Wisconsin, although he says he may have to be at the state fair. He's not sure if he can come. Tim Sheehy of Montana and Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania, trying to get them to come as well. It'll be a great event. Americans for Prosperity will be there. Mike Pence's new group is going to be there. We're talking to Club for Growth and several others to come. Should be a fun time. Just text the word ENGAGE to 33777. And you can come hang out with us, see me in Atlanta, August 8th through the 11th. Now, I have put off, you know my love of these stories, and I put this off until the end of the program. I have restrained myself and talked about other news. sales of Ford Blues hybrid vehicles were up 36% on pace for projected full year 2024 hybrid sales growth of 40%. The compact Ford Maverick was America's number one selling hybrid truck in the first quarter, and hybrid versions of the new F-150 full-size pickup are now on their way to customers. The business is well along in carrying out a multi-year plan that is further expanding hybrid options around the globe, including hybrid options of every vehicle in its North American portfolio at the end of the decade. Ford Model E revenue was down as wholesales declined and significant industry-wide pricing pressure continued to affect electric vehicles currently on the market. The segment had an EBIT loss of $1.3 billion with costs that were flat year over year. The company expects EV costs to improve going forward, but be offset by top-line pressure. Price cuts helped the Mach-E, but cost Ford a lot of money. Losses of $5 billion a year. The hybrids are booming. The EVs are not. And you know, I'm not really like I think I'd rather... So a hybrid uses an internal combustion engine and a battery, and some are plug-in hybrids, some are not. They're much more fuel efficient than just straight internal combustion engine, but they you don't have to plug it in, so you can go further. You don't have to worry if you're not going to get stranded with a battery that runs out. Now, here's the other issue. Ford's electric vehicle unit reported that losses soared in the first quarter to $1.3 billion, or $132,000 for each of the 10,000 vehicles it sold in the first 3 months of the year, dragging down earnings. Ford, like most automakers, has announced plans to shift from traditional gas-powered vehicles to EVs in the coming years. But it is the only traditional automaker to break out results of its electric or EV sales at retail. And the results it reported Wednesday show another sign of the profit pressures on the EV business at Ford and other automakers. The EV unit, which Ford calls Model E, sold 10,000 vehicles in the quarter, down 20% from the number it sold a year ago. And its revenue plunged 84% to about $100 million, which Ford attributed mostly to price cuts for EVs across the industry. That resulted in the $1.3 billion loss before interest and taxes and the massive pre-vehicle losses in the Model E unit. If you missed the nugget there for perspective, Ford is losing $132,000 per vehicle. $132,000 per vehicle. Y'all, that is not sustainable. That is not sustainable. And what they had hoped is that more and more people would come in to buy the vehicles. And that's not happening. The early adopters adopted, and that's it. Now, there's a corollary here that is not vehicle. I have an Apple Vision Pro. The Apple Vision Pro is Apple's headset. Now, I've got an Oculus from Facebook. Facebook sent me one as a review copy. I had the option to pay some money to keep it. My kid and I enjoyed the games on it. The games on the Oculus, by the way, better than the games on the Apple Vision Pro. But by every spec and dynamic, the Apple Vision Pro is better than the Oculus. The resolution is better. The movie quality is better. The screen is better. The interface is better. All these things are better. You don't have to use controllers. Part of the problem, though, is without the controllers, the games aren't as good. The early adopters adopted, and I tend to be an early adopter for Apple stuff. Nobody's buying them now. I actually had to go to the Apple store yesterday. I needed an adapter for my computer because, you know, they don't have regular USB outlets in the laptops anymore for Apple. Had to get a USB adapter with an Ethernet jack. Guess what? There was one person in the whole store looking at an Apple Vision Pro. And he was just demoing it, that's all. The early adopters adopted, and no one else came along. We're seeing this in the electric vehicle space. The early adopters adopted. No one else is really buying. Nobody's really excited by them. Don't really blame them, by the way. If you have an electric vehicle, so I was last night. I was at went with my buddy Jason and Jimmy Allen from True Precision. So True Precision. So my concealed carry gun is from them. True Precision. They're good guys. Really great guys, and they've got a great company. If you want a really cool gun, True Precision, this is an ad for them. They didn't ask me to do it. They're friends of mine, and I love the stuff that they do. And I'm happy to talk about friends, particularly, you know, friends who have poured their life into something and it's just taken off. It's rewarding to see your friends rewarded for hard work. So we went to this steakhouse called Elevation. It's at the Cobb County Airport, where Priority Jet is, by the way. And we had dinner and we're sitting there talking. We're talking about planes and stuff. And the parking lot has a number of Teslas. And what I noticed and what they noticed is almost every single Tesla was not parked properly in a parking space. They were all spilled over into another spot. It's like, is that an auto park feature of Tesla, or Tesla drivers just can't drive? I don't know. It was noticeable. Multiple Teslas parked in multiple parking spots instead of just one. The early adopters of the Teslas have adopted. Teslas are expensive. They have models now that are cheaper, but they're still too expensive for a lot of people coming into the market trying to buy cars. Toyota has gone the hybrid option. My buddy Braden has this Toyota, and he texted me, I think while I was on spring break, so it would have been the first week in April, that it was the first time this year he has put gas in his car. Think about that. He's driven it, drives it a lot. First time this year he's put gas in his car, because his electric hybrid is one you can plug in, uses the battery, then it uses the gas, it can flip back to the battery. Some of the power generated by the gas can charge the battery. They're very efficient. My son is very anti-electric car, and he's thinking, you know what, Dad, hybrid, if we were to get a hybrid for me. Now, let's be honest, my son really wants a Mustang. He's not getting a Mustang. But nonetheless, we're starting to think about cars. The hybrids make sense to me. I actually think the real transition for the future is hydrogen, because hydrogen is plentiful, has a lot of energy in it. You can figure out how to harness it. The byproduct is water. I know there are some businesses. Mitsubishi is one. I think Toyota is another. They're pouring incredible amounts of research into building hydrogen-run vehicles. Makes sense to me. I think that the battery is the halfway measure. But the people who want the pure battery cars, that they're now there. It's a maxed out market. Most people want to be able to fill up their car in 5 minutes and keep going. It's like, for example, in California now, the California Energy Commission is warning they've built too many windmills and solar panels on really sunny, windy days, of which there are a lot in the summer in California. You have negative power rates, meaning the power companies are paying you for your power generation. That's not sustainable because it bankrupts the power companies. And then there's no ability to replenish baseload power. The environmentalists, I don't think environmentalists are really thinking about a lot of the stuff they need to be thinking about in this regard. They're so busy saving the planet, they haven't forgotten that you're not going to save the planet when you make everybody mad and there's a backlash. The push by the Biden administration for people to get into electric cars, I think, is part of that backlash. People are willing to make change slowly, but they are not ready to give up fossil fuels when, for many people in their life circumstances, an electric car, the size of it, the range of it, the speed of charge of it, is not functional. So kudos to Ford for taking a chance, and it took a chance relying on government pressure and subsidies. But the people haven't come to buy them. $132,000 per vehicle Ford is losing. They've reduced the production of the Ford F-150 Lightning. They're scaling back their other electric plans. They're doing what Toyota did. Toyota bet on hybrids, not EVs. In fact, the environmentalist tried to oust the chairman of Toyota because he refused to go pure electric, and he won. Now more manufacturers are doing that. But this whole idea of government planning, it reminds me of that quote I pledged a couple weeks ago. Pete Buttigieg said, oh, this reminds me of the cell phone debate and people not wanting to switch cell phones and thinking we need to keep planning. That was a free market debate. The government wasn't incentivizing. The government wasn't subsidizing. The government wasn't pushing people to move to cell phones. It happened naturally over time. The government trying to force people into this undermines it because people don't like to be bullied by the government. They don't like the government to tell them what to do. And they understand when the government picks winners and losers, the government tends to prop up the loser and kill the winner. People understand these things. I say all the time, people are stupid. In fact, they are. People are stupid. But the collective genius of the American people is not to be underestimated. They know when they're being played by the government. They know when they're being played by big business. And they know how to respond. And they're responding by rejecting the model. They're responding by rejecting electric vehicles. Ford, kudos to them for breaking out their prices, for explaining the losses. The other major manufacturers, they're not doing that. Ford is taking it on the chin because they're willing to tell the truth about it. But I got to tell you, $132,000 a vehicle is not sustainable for Ford or for any other company. In fact, a number of regional banks are losing their shirt right now. They're getting their credit downgraded. No problem. Now, they may get a bailout. I mean, the government picking winners and losers, putting them in the hands of too big to fail other banks. It's causing economic problems. That's why Swiss America has been sounding the alarm about the secret war on cash and the assault on our freedoms. With soaring interest rates, squeezing the economy, with banks teetering on collapse, Swiss America can educate you on ways to help protect your hard-earned assets right now. Go read their stocking report. It's The Secret War on Cash. Your copy is completely free. All you have to do is call or text my name, Eric Erickson, to Swiss America. Their number is 800-289-2646. You can text my name, Eric Erickson, to 800-289-2646 and get your copy for free. The All-Out War on Cash includes digital forms of currency. It's spreading daily. So go read The Secret War on Cash completely for free. Just mention my name, Eric Erickson, when you call or text 800-289-2646. That's 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. Or you can go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric. Message and data rates may apply. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. I hope you guys are ready for a weekend. I've actually got a... I'm going to try not to get a speeding ticket as I rush down Peachtree Street. I got to get back to the conference. So I got to moderate two panels this afternoon. One is on the life question. And my friend Marjorie Dansfelder from Susan B. Anthony is going to be there. She's the leader of the Susan B. Anthony SBA. They're a pro-life organization in D.C. And they're kind of the leader in the space for where should the right go on life. And so I'm actually intrigued. I get to moderate the discussion and ask the questions. Bob Vanderplatz from Iowa is going to be there as well. Great guy. And then I have a conversation with Terry Schilling from the American Principles Project about family and the need for government policy to incentivize family. You know, one of my concerns, and it's not something that keeps me up at night, but I think about it probably more than I should, is the data shows increasingly America's a childless society. And as we become a childless society, government policies are going to realign, if we're not careful, to take care of the childless. In an ordered society, people have kids. And when the people get old, the kids take care of them, and those kids have kids. And when the kids get old, their kids take care of them. Circle of life. Cycle repeats itself. And over time, people are having kids. You have like 2-3 kids. Society grows. There are more people, and society prospers. Some of what we're dealing with as a society right now is people aren't having kids. And we're increasingly reliant on immigrants and immigration. And that, frankly, is one of many reasons Democrats are so tolerant of illegal immigration. They think we need the people because we actually do need the people filling menial service jobs that Americans don't want to fill. And so it's realigned orders and priorities for people on the left and the right of what they value, don't value, what policies they want to pursue and not pursue, how they want to align things. And obviously, I think there is a role for government to play in incentivizing people to have kids. But where do you draw the lines? Because typically, in any elite circumstance, when the lines are not drawn in the right place. And we have seen, all of us have seen, the elite continue to get things wrong. So it'll be intriguing. Speaking of kids, just as an aside, before I get out of here, can I just say, I don't know about you guys, those of you who are parents,
This is really for those of you who are parents. And for those of you whose kids are well out of school, you went through this, I suspect. So we got like 3.5 weeks of school. Graduation, I think, is May 18th. Are your kids just over it? Because, you know, my kid, so she's in AP Biology, AP Calculus, and AP English. She's taking 3 AP classes. She's got hundreds in all 3, by the way. Proud of my kid. But she is just so ready for graduation at this point. And I kind of remember, like, you're just done. You become mentally checked out. Your grades are basically done. They figured out who's the valedictorian. College transcripts are out the door. So what does it matter these last few weeks of school? Meanwhile, my ninth grader is like, it's starting to click with him that he's gotta keep his grades up in math. Now, I did discover if he goes to Auburn, he's on the architecture track, which is what he wants. He only has to take one math class, and he may actually get it in high school if he's lucky. But we gotta work on math with him. But he's not quite as bad as my daughter, and I get it, she's a senior. But we are at the last several weeks of school. School wraps up in less than a month, and trying to get our kids to stay motivated and engaged has become something. And then the drama. All the kids have been together all year, and they're finally tired of each other. My goodness gracious. I cannot wait for summer vacation just to be extricated from all the drama. Oh, I'm going to cry at graduation, aren't I? It's going to be something. But I'm glad we're here. I'm glad my wife is around for it. But y'all, it is just getting really funny. So I've been out of town. I was out of town all last week, and I've had to be out of town some this week. The conference today, had to be had dinner last night, and boy, my kids, every time it's just, Dad, you'll never guess what happened at school. We have hit that point of the day. Of the year, I guess. All right, I got to rush down Peachtree Street. I'll try not to speed and get a speeding ticket. You guys have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.